Good evening, San Francisco. Welcome to Come Out Right Now. Thank you, thank you. This is the special W. Kamau Bell's mom is in the house. Are you here, Ma? Are you here? Oh, there she is right there. She's right there. So if you don't like the show, you have to deal with her. Get ready, everybody. She will find you on Facebook. She will friend you, and then she will read you. That's what's going to happen. I'm W. Kamau Bell, and tonight we're going to do what we do. We're going to have some conversations and get into everything that's happening right now in the world and in our lives. Sometimes these conversations on the show get awkward. Prepare for that. Like on the last episode, we had a Trump supporter on. And it was pretty awkward until we bribed him not to vote for Trump. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yes. At least as far as he told us. How do we bribe him? Of course, we use gummy worms and E40 CDs. Of course, that's what you do. So when you go to Thanksgiving, you're going to have an awkward conversation. Take some gummy worms and some E40 CDs, everybody. That's how it goes. We have a really great show tonight. I'm happy. First of all, give it up for the JCCS, everybody, for letting us do the show here. Yes. I have seen a lot of shows here. I've been here. I've seen lots of things in this room right here. I've been all this place. This is the place every time I come here, I go, huh, maybe I should become Jewish. That's how nice this place is. For people listening at home, it's like, huh, Judaism, do you say? Yeah. Free Wi-Fi. I think that's a reason to convert. My guest tonight on this awesome show, we have host of the podcast and the column Dear Prudence, Mallory Ortberg. Everybody, give it for Mallory Ortberg. Ortberg, my pronunciation. Next guest on the panel, we have retired California Superior Court Judge Ladoris Cordell. Give it up for Judge Ladoris Cordell. Judge Cordell would be a great judge show on TV, wouldn't it, though? That just sounds like it's already on TV. And our first return guest, although his tweets seem to make every episode we've had of Come Out Right Now, give it up for Kasim Bentley, everybody. Comedian Kasim Bentley. One of my favorite comics, Kasim Bentley. And then later, we're going to have a segment we call The Awkward Talk with the Big Bell. We're going to have probably the most awkward talk you can have at a Jewish community center. You know, where to get the best Kugel in San Francisco, right? Is that how it works? People are like, no, that's not it. Oh, yeah, you're right. And since this has come out right now, we want to know what's going on with you right now, with you in the audience here in the at the JCCSF, with people online, listening on the radio, on Twitter. Maybe you have a question for one of our guests tonight. Maybe you don't want to talk about... Maybe you want to talk about the elections, because I sure don't. We also want to know good stuff, too. Cat pictures are okay. Whatever you got for us, send it to us. Tweet to us at Kamau Right Now, using the hashtag Kamau Now, KAMAUNOW. That's how I get people to spell my name correctly. So, in fact, to give you a sense of what's happening online and what we do here, let's introduce the person who will be carefully sorting through all your wonderful social media reactions. Please give it up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra over here, everybody. Becca Hoekstra.
Hi, everyone.
Can you give people an example of what we might be talking about?
Yeah, so what we're looking for, I mean, like, here's one that's super great. This is from at Lizzie Halstead. Finally potty trained my 3-year-old. Huge victory. No more diapers. My glamorous reality.
Oh, that is a huge victory. Give it up for that kid being potty trained to 3. You people without kids don't know. I got 2 kids. Leaving the house without a bag of anything, that's amazing. We can just leave without taking, like, a whole bag of clothes and diapers. And oh, my God, it's like I'm free again. I love my kids. And as you may have noticed earlier, there's a man with a great mustache wandering through the crowd collecting your audience cards. That's our audience emissary. Give it up for Jeremy Dalmas, everybody. Jeremy Dalmas.
Hi, Kamau.
Jeremy, is there anything you've heard exciting from our audience so far?
Yes, I've already picked out a card because I like Rebels. This person says, I snuck in wine. And they have a scared emoji.
Whoa. Somebody's going to get a little lit during Come Out Right Now. We'll figure out where the best heckling's coming from. That's where the wine snuck in. I wonder if they... Did you... I guess I can ask you a question because then you'll know where you are. But I just wonder, was that a financial matter or just because you like to be naughty? You know what I mean? We'll talk later. All right, there you go, yeah. San Francisco, still keeping it freaky. I appreciate that. Got to keep it weird in San Francisco with all you tech people taking over and ruining it and making me move. All right, here we go. Happier in the East Bay, so take that, everybody. Wow, it's already gotten awkward. Look who knew. I knew. Gentrification always makes it awkward in front of white people. Okay, here we go. What? Yeah, I don't want to talk about the election, but let's talk about it a little bit. I don't know. I know there's people here on all sides, from Hillary to Jill Stein. I get it. You're all in the room. All sides are represented. All sides left of the political spectrum. I just feel like if we actually had a thing on the ballot that said, you know, just why don't we just give Obama 4 more years and start this process over, right? Yeah, try again, you know, although I do admit the one thing I'm excited about with Hillary Clinton potentially being the president is that I get to say to both my daughters, like, yeah, that's how it works with presidents. Sometimes it's a black guy, sometimes it's a woman. That's just how it works. That's how it works. Although at this point, I can't imagine we have to do the debates and stuff. Exactly. I don't even see it. Anybody else like me just want to be induced into a medical coma and wake up during the inauguration just like, oh, look at this. Oh, look who won. Oh, interesting. Bernie Sanders. How did that happen? Holding the head of Donald Trump. That's amazing. What's in his other hand? All of Hillary's emails. Wow. All right. President Bernie. Here we go. Welcome to Come Out Right Now. Give yourselves a round of applause, everybody. We have got some amazing guests to help us talk about what's going on in the world right now. My first guest is making his second appearance on Come Out Right Now. I think Facebook was built for this dude, and his tweets keep appearing in the show Come Out Right Now. Please welcome one of my favorite comedians of all time, period, comedian Kasim Bentley, everybody. Kasim Bentley. My next guest is the co-founder of The Coast and the current host of the podcast Dear Prudence at Slate.com. I appeared on with my friend Ari Kondabolu. Please welcome Mallory Ortberg, everybody. Mallory, give it up. My last guest is a former police auditor. That sounds hard. For the city of San Jose, California. That sounds harder. A retired judge from the Superior Court of California and the first black female judge in Northern California, we are honored to bring to the stage Judge LaDoris Cordell, everybody. Give it up for Judge Cordell. Thank you. Judge Cordell, you're just one of the coolest people I know. Let me just say that right off.
I'm very cool. But actually, Kamal, when I was on the bench for 20 years, you know, judges, we have certain rules. We can't act out like Judge Judy does, all that crazy stuff. We cannot do that. So once I retired, it was like I was unleashed. So I can be who I am, and I'd love for folks to follow me on Twitter, at Judge Cordell.
Look at that. So, get my followers up. That's yes. Right. So let's find out what's going on with you all right now before we talk about what I'm thinking about right now, which is probably what we're all thinking about. Kasim Bentley down there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So you're always, your Facebook page is like a moist mushroom of a face. It's just lots of things.
Wait, can you explain that? That graphic is, are you like a Super Mario mushroom, or are we talking about like...
Like you know, you go to the forest and you lift up a log and there's just stuff growing. That's your Facebook page. It's a dark place.
So fungus. It sounds like something horrible that might get... Okay.
It's not always horrible. Sometimes you're like, oh, I can eat that. Sometimes it's all right.
Okay, for the people that don't know, this is what happens. I get invited on and I feel good and he assassinates my self-esteem. Then I go home and cry in a shame ball, right? Then I get 20 more Twitter followers and I feel okay, right? So it's live, or as the kids say, it's lit, all right?
That's So you are my connection to pop culture.
Okay.
Summer's over now, but tell me, what was for you the song of the summer?
Okay, this, for everyone here, sometimes there's a song that just takes over. You can't stop it. It's like a fungus, you know what I mean? And the song for me was a song like "Ooh," or if you know, it's called "Ooh." It's like Young M.A., right? And this song is amazing because Young M.A. is a rapper from Brooklyn. She's like 21, 22 years old. The amazing thing, but the song is just, if you're in the club or if you're in the street or you're anywhere that sells drugs, it's an amazing song. It's crazy. And
you described where this audience hangs out regularly, right here.
Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. The guy in the blue tie knows what I'm talking about. He's like, and so the beautiful thing about the song is usually you think that the thing about it's amazing about her is that she's a young, like, she's a stud. She's a black stud, right? LGBTQ, all right? And you, before in hip-hop, you would never have seen this. You know, because in the world of hip-hop, you'd always been rumored that someone was maybe, if a woman rapper was, you know, out there, you'd be like, is she a lesbian? This and all that. You know, it'd be Queen Latifah or the Brat.
Whoa. Like, don't ruin my black street cred by outing people on the Kamau right now.
I'm sorry. The thoughts and opinions of Kasim Bentley have nothing to do with Kamau Bell or his afro. All right? So, but here's the thing. Is that it's a great song, and it's a big statement because I did, like, she's hit the song, everyone's loving it, and this has been little mention or any kind of weird controversy about it. And that's the beautiful thing that's happening right now in hip-hop, is that it's hip-hop, it's kind of like growing up, you know what I mean? It's probably due to social media, you know, the fact that back in the 90s or the 80s, you didn't have enough barbershops. Like, you didn't have people talking about it with different opinions. But now, because Facebook, Twitter, everything, and Instagram, Snapchat, if you have an iPhone that works, so Samsung doesn't work well, Snapchat, it doesn't work there, is that now we're just able to take it in and say, hey, this is what's happening. I'm not going to sit here and put up this great, crazy fight. You know, even though when you get on Twitter, you do get some of these, like, you do get, like, hotel black people, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, see, that's the problem, brother. See, that's what they're doing. They're going to let her out there, and that's what makes...
You're going to have to define what a hotel black person is for, okay, that's 90% like, of this audience.
I didn't know. I'm sorry, I didn't look. I'm sorry. I keep looking at you. And they understand.
This is not the NAACP SF. This is the JCC SF.
Okay, for the people who follow social media, or
I just want to ask before you take a breath. Do you two know what a hotep black person is, Ladore? Judge Cordell, do you know?
I'll take a pass on
that. Okay. Mallory, do you know what, as the representative white person on the panel, do you?
I do.
Okay, all right.
But I'm going to let you explain it.
You see?
I'm not gonna tackle it.
That's a good call, Mallory.
I'm gonna sit right here in my lane.
Okay.
I love how you act like there's just lawyers in the audience ready to sue you or something, or someone from when you're on Twitter, you have Black Twitter. That's a community on part of Twitter that represents the concerns, all the lifestyle, the aesthetics of being black. Hotep black people are still part of Black Twitter, but they're like the crazy uncle, you know what I mean? Like the ones like that, the uncle that went to NAMM, you know what I mean, kind of stuff. The one that has some off. The theories go well, but then some on Hotep Black Twitter just go crazy, you know what I mean? Like if on any given day on Hotep Twitter, somebody would say, you know, if you really harness your energy, you can use your melanin to shoot out rays of lightning, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, okay, I'm not following you anymore, right? Because you're crazy. You live in a big beach house in Santa Barbara on crazy, you know what I mean? So like, yet people, controversy was, like, saying that, you know, what does it mean when you have a young lesbian rapper and this hit song, you know, and she's just out here, and what does it represent for the community, you know? Will she be used as this new figurehead and whatnot? But it's beyond that. It's just beautiful to understand that we have to have everyone be represented, you know. And the great thing about her, just like people like Young Thug, there's this idea that we're finally growing up and not letting sexuality hold us back, you know. And
that's a good show. Do we have a picture of Young Thug we can show right there? That's
Yeah. Look at him. He looks like a really sassy lampshade. You know what I mean? I love it. I know that some people listening, my friends or my former friends listening, I know they're going to hate it, but it's like,
we have to get to a point.
The what we're saying, what you're saying is that the younger generation, the millennials, the gender lines are more fluid, and so those people are coming up doing their thing, and there's not as much being caught up on, like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
If you're doing that, yeah.
So, I mean, the bigger issue about, if anyone knows, it's not what he's wearing, it's like, what is he saying? You know what I mean? Because he sounds like cursive, you know what I mean? It don't even make no sense, you know?
Well, thank you, Christine, for the song of the summer update. Give it up for Christine Bentley, everybody. Hey. Judge Cordell?
Yes, come on.
So what does one do after retiring from 20 years in the criminal court system? What's going on with you now?
Well, what's going on with me right now is I just came off of two big projects. One was chairing a commission investigating the jails in Santa Clara County after the beating death of a mentally ill inmate by some guards. And then being a part of a commission here in San Francisco looking into the racist texting scandal involving 15 San Francisco police officers. So got that stuff done, issued our report. So now
I didn't hear the word, I retired in a, I didn't hear beach.
No,
or
not yet.
Yoga or...
Getting there. Okay. But what I'm doing now is thinking about 20 years of judging, and I'm writing a memoir. A very personal one about what it's like to sit on a bench and be the first African-American woman on the bench in Northern California for 20 years. And I'm now taking a look back at what I did and the cases I presided over. And so I'm writing this book to give information. I think it'll be entertaining. But at the same time, I'm also doing it to do some penance, because I was part of a system that continues to be broken, and I'm talking specifically about the criminal justice system. And even though I was very well intentioned, I was still a part of it, and I want to put all that out there. I want to do penance by writing this book in a hope of getting the system somehow better. It's broken, it's really broken. And I know it having been in it firsthand. So that's what I'm working on. So I hope within the next year I can have this memoir out. So,
thank you very much. Does it have a title?
It doesn't have a title yet. I had one idea, and that was and when I presided in court, when the lawyers or the litigants wanted to speak, I had this rule, and it's the rule of the three B's. Be clear. Breathe, be seated. So I'm thinking about possibilities. So we'll see.
That's a good. I like that one. Yeah, that's better than the Judge Judy P book, whatever it was, whatever her title was. Nobody knows that. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Oh yeah, Judge Judy.
I like yours better. Although hers just seemed to work out well for her. So Mallory Ortberg, you've been tweeting a lot lately about a movie, a particular scene in the movie.
I sure have.
And we're on radio, and there are FCC guidelines. I'll just say that as we go into this.
Cool. I will choose my words super carefully. I am obsessed right now with We Don't Breathe. I'm going to do my best not to give you too many spoilers, but if you're very interested in seeing the movie Don't Breathe, plug your ears right now. It's billed as this very straightforward home invasion movie, and then in the...
Straightforward home invasion movie.
You know, when you in... Oh, so it's like... Oh, there. It's like these, like, bad teens are invading the home of this, like, intense Gulf War veteran, which was weird, by the way, to notice, like, oh, we're not doing scary Vietnam veterans in movies anymore.
Oh.
Like, we've moved on. So now, like...
Is that a good thing? Is that a good fuss?
It was just like an odd moment. It was like a passing of the baton. So they invade his home, and it's like very intense. And then like two-thirds of the way through the movie, there's this super bananas at-home in vitro fertilization scene. I'm trying so carefully to choose my words. And it's the best thing I've ever seen.
At home in vitro fertilization scene.
It's definitely not like it's not following best practices. And there's just this like loving close up of what is like a mason jar's worth of semen. Can I say semen on the air?
Well, we've said it twice, so there we go.
And it is so like you look at it and you're like, that's a jar of semen. Ah. Oh. And there's like an intense close-up of what I thought was like a CGI sperm, like one to really let you know, like this is semen.
but it's not. I went and saw it again, and it's single CGI pubic hair to let you know it's semen.
I'm looking at the producer of the show right now, and his head was in his hands, like, oh, there we go. They invited us to the JCCSF. We told them we had a... Here we go.
Judge Cordell's,
so perfect.
Judge realized, Cordell's face this whole time has been pretty excellent, too. Just like, what am I doing here?
I will give you that. I am sorry. I'm not going to stop, but I'm sorry. But what was so perfect is it was just like, I feel like we've had so many horror movies, like from Aliens to Teeth, that are just like, oh, birth is terrifying. Like, the vagina scared me. And now we're getting just some like good old-fashioned semen anxiety. And I think that's so great. I just think that's really nice.
Yay! If you just tuned in, I'm W. Kamau Bell. And I've been speaking with Kasim Bentley, Mallory Ortberg, and Judge Ladores Cordell. If you just tuned in, you're very confused. This is Kamau right now on KALW live from the JCCSF. That's right. That's where we are in San Francisco. So this week, what I've been thinking about are two things. One is Colin Kaepernick. Oh, there, I think I heard a boo. Which brings me to my second thing, most Americans' inability to have two conversations at once. Football and justice, I don't know how to do that. And it's all symbolized by ex-San Francisco 49er Jerry Rice and two tweets. So Jerry Rice's first tweet was a few weeks ago. He says, all lives matter, which a black guy saying all lives matter, saying, I don't want to eat barbecue anymore that's any tasty. I want to get my barbecue from Safeway from now on. He says, all lives matter. So much going on in this world today. Can we just all get along? Oh, no, we learned that in the 90s. That's not going to happen. He says, Colin, I respect your stance. Do you? But don't disrespect the flag. And then, clearly, every black person in Jerry Rice's life who he respects came and came for him, as we say in the black community, got him. And then just yesterday, I support Kaepernick for bringing awareness for injustice. As Americans, we all have rights. I'm hoping we all come together. Hashtag solution. He invented his own hashtag because Black Lives Matter wouldn't fit at that point, I guess. And so, you know, this is the Bay Area. This is a national news story, but this is the Bay Area. This comes from us, and we all are talking a lot about Colin Kaepernick. Can you show a picture of Colin Kaepernick? There he is. Wait a minute. That's a picture of Colin Kaepernick in his 49ers jersey from last year. Show a recent picture of Colin Kaepernick. There we go. With his giant afro. He looks like he's throwing that football for justice. I love that. It looks like a blaxploitation movie right there. Who is the man who kneels for his brother man? Cap! Damn right.
Why do we even play the national anthem at sports events? What are we doing?
Good question, Judge.
I don't understand. Why? I mean, sports? I mean, U.S. Open,
they
do before
plays.
Yeah, right.
Before we start Romeo and Juliet.
It's ridiculous. I just think it's ridiculous. I think that, yeah. You know, using the national anthem at sports events, I mean, if we take that away, we can get on and do with the sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate what Kaepernick is doing. Yes. I absolutely do. And I think it took a lot of courage for him. Because you know that man has taken some heat from doing this.
Yeah, because let's be clear. He's not the star quarterback anymore. So he's not like the Tom Brady of the team who can... Tom Brady can do whatever he wants to and often does with his Trump caps on. He's not... And he's also... Football contracts aren't guaranteed. So he can be cut at any time and not get his money. So it's a really...
But we know that what's going to happen.
What's going
to
happen?
They're going to figure out some way to cut him. He's going to go to another crap team and then like... I'm sorry. I need to get the realness right now. No, but I was, when you talk to guys that play football, like I got a friend that plays NFL, and I got a guy that caught football, and we were just talking about this, like barbershop talk, and the way it happens right now, they're putting up the good face. Right now, puts up all this money. Everyone's protesting, but it's like that. There was that story about how all the owners and people from the NFL were like, they were just talking about him and any other player that sits there and protests. You know, I hate to say this, but I think that he's doing a really brave thing. But it's awfully that we can support him when he's playing in the Canadian Football League or something. You know? And he's like, you know, those put a maple bacon jerseys. Leaves or whatever when it's out there. But it's one of those things, right? And I hope that other players aren't afraid to lose endorsements or their status with some teams just so they can fight for justice, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, I think it'd be interesting because, you know, the NFL has a lot of black players, but the power in the league is not with the players in the NFL. It's with the owners. But we're a few weeks away from the NBA, where the power is really in the players' hands. And I think even the players, I've read into this a little bit, in the NFL, there's nothing that says you have to stand for the anthem. In the NBA, it's written into the players' collective bargaining agreement. So you have to stand or suffer fines. So it's going to be really what happens, because the NBA is a more activist league. You know, LeBron James can't do all that, like, wear the I Can't Breathe shirt and pose in the hoodie. And then this season when the NBA starts, just ba-ba-dum, standing tall. He's got to do something.
Yeah, they're not going to mess with LeBron. I really believe that he could do that. And I think he would be fine. I think there would be a huge uproar if they decided to do that. So I just think as long as the national anthem is there, it really does take courage for these players to sit down or kneel down for justice. And I think we need to give them as much support as possible.
Yes. And the other thing that has revealed itself, and I think this, I don't know if Colin had this in mind, but it also revealed the super racist third verse of the national anthem. The third verse of the national anthem has the word slave in it, and it rhymes with the word grave, and I'll let you make the connection with how that goes about. That's the third verse of the national anthem. So, I mean, I feel like that's the bigger question. Like, why this song is the anthem at all is the question. There's you know, a lot of songs written since then. You know. I'm for Ray Charles' version of America the Beautiful at every, specifically his version. Just
we don't do Kendrick, all right?
There we go. Kendrick Lamar, we going to be all right? then the white players are kneeling. Wait a minute. I don't know about this. And this comes out of the fact that right now we are living at, you know, Colin Kaepernick starts this protest a month ago, and you know, to say that we need to talk about black lives in this country and the police officers and unjust killing. And in the last week, there's been three suspicious killings. There's Terrence Crutcher, who's 40, father of four. His car stalled in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was shot in the back while he had his hands walking. Lamont Smith, 43, Charlotte, North Carolina. He was shot in his car. Family said he was reading a book. Police said he had a gun, but North Carolina is an open carry state, so you can't actually have a gun unless you're. And then there's Tyree King, 13, Columbus, Ohio, had a BB gun, and the autopsy suggests he was shot while running away. And that's just been in the last few days. And so, you know, I feel like the one thing about this is that whatever Kaepernick is doing, which is great, at some point, do you have to raise the stakes on this? Do you have to go from, like, not standing for the anthem to, like, I was thinking about Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali lost 3.5 years of his prime that he gave up for his beliefs. You know what I mean? Is there a point at which the athletes do something like that, where like LeBron James says, "I'm not playing again until X, Y, and Z," I think X, Y, and Z will happen by later that day.
Well, we already know that there were football players, a team, and I'm blanking out on the university where there had been a lot of racist incidents.
University of Missouri.
Right, and the players said, "We're not playing."
All of them.
And guess what? Everybody gave them what they wanted. You know, the president got to step in, out the door, right?
Yeah, that's a legal term, got to step in, right?
You know, so a lot of it is just, it's really the power of the people. But I will tell you, these shootings have just left me feeling empty, just empty. So it's further than rage, further than anger, just an emptiness now. And I really want us to start thinking about what it is that we really need to be doing here. So we've been talking about all the rage, by the way, now is implicit bias training. People need to understand that bias is an officer. Okay. But I'm looking
at all
these...
That was liberal white people's like, can we have a new word for racism?
Yeah.
That one hurts my feelings a little bit. Can we have something that sounds just a little bit like just something that I can do and not feel so bad about it? I wasn't racist. I was just implicitly biased.
And that's really been... We really have to start thinking outside the box on this. Mm-hmm. About, we're taking this box, which is policing, and we're saying, this is what we have. Well, maybe we can have something else. Mm-hmm. maybe we should just start thinking about what else we could have patrolling our communities. Do Absolutely. We always have to have police? I think we need to start thinking about it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, and I think, too, it's a lot to that something as mild as sitting or kneeling during the national anthem, like, causes so many of us white people to freak out mm-hmm. when, like, in 1 week, you know, three people have been killed.
That we know, that we're talking
about. That we know of and that we're talking about, yeah. whose name we know is really, like, speaks to, like, the power of white fragility to, like, silence and hurt people. And I think it's not just on people like Colin Kaepernick and other people to say something, but it's not just athletes' responsibilities as public figures. Like, it's on us, especially people who know or are related to police officers or people in positions of power, to take a look at, like, why are they so armed and so quick to shoot?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Like,
yeah. I always love it. I love that phrase, white fragility, because I think that's where a lot of this swings around, is white people like, I just don't want to think about bad things.
Well, it's like you
I
were
just
saying,
want to watch the football game and see guys get concussions. Can I just do that, please?
It's like you were saying a minute ago with, like, we really flip out when people say that you just said something racist. Like, we really tend to lose it, because it's like, that's as bad as having something racist happen to you. It's like, no, it's definitely not. But we act like it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You see?
I mean, about this whole situation with the shootings and the Kaepernick, I do look for people like you and other entertainers and other people in sports to stand up. But something I always think about is these corporations that back these athletes in Major League Sports, where you don't have people saying, like, hey, we see the problem. We're going to pull out from you, Major League Baseball. We're going to pull out from you, NFL. And see, because that's a lot of times, like, comes down to, I think that's where a lot of time players won't speak up, because they don't want to lose their Nestle contract or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But someone from Nestle has seen that it's crazy right now. It's going to just keep on getting crazy until something happens. And, you know, your point about white fragility, which is beautiful. I'm going to get that tattooed on my arm, I think, right there. It's right there. And
this, you just point to it, and a white person goes, did you just call me a racist? Point to you. You're feeling this right now.
He's like, okay, WF, all right,
I think Old English script would be good for a white fragility tattoo. Yeah,
tattoo. I think you just want to open a store called White Fragility, you know what I mean? See what's going on here. I had a half-off sale on white fragility today. It was a white sale. It was real nice. Right there. But this is a time, like that thing Haas talked about, like, this is a time for white people. Like, and while allies and people are new to these issues, it's to stand up, whether it's through a hashtag, whether it's protesting, whether it's just having a conversation. We understand what's happening, we understand the stake, and we understand it's going to get worse if we don't, as a collective, come together and speak up. Don't be shocked when it's at your door, you know, because we're at a point where it's like a pressure cooker. You know, we feel like the country is starting to really boil up, and the people that are being marginalized, there's going to be enough people to say we're not taking anymore, and who knows what's going to happen. I know it could sound wild coming from me, but that's what I fear.
No, you, with that beard, you look like a guy who would say that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't have a mirror in my house. I don't know what it looks like right now. I usually think I look like a teddy bear, but right there. But no, it's one of those times where it is. I do say, if any people out here listening that are white, like, it's time to be a part of change, and that it's
yes. It's time we check in. Give it up for our panel, everybody. We're going to keep them here for a little bit. It's time we check in on what's happening with our social media desk, with what's happening on Twitter, and you in the live audience. Please get up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra, everybody. Becca Hoekstra.
So on our last show, in the after party, which you can only hear on the podcast, we were talking a lot about these Donald Trump statues that went up all over San Francisco. And we got a really thoughtful comment on our Facebook page from Shane Brody, who held a protest. He's a self-identified fat trans man. And so he did this protest where he stood in the same spot as the statue with his body, which very much resembled those statues that were put up in a way to shame Donald Trump. And really just trying to talk about, like, really, like, body comments, that's the best we can do to insult someone.
Yeah, is that really the problem with Donald Trump?
Yeah.
How his body is shaped? Is
yeah.
that really where it all falls apart? If only
yeah.
his body was shaped differently.
Ha
yeah,
ha,
yeah.
ha ha.
We invited Shane tonight. Is Shane here? There's Shane right
Yay.
There, Shane Brody!
Yay.
Hold on, Shane. I'm coming. I'm coming, Shane.
You're getting a hug, Shane. Whether you want, hopefully you want a hug. Thank you, Shane. Thank you for doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that's the what we're talking about. Shane Brody, everybody. What else we got? Can we top that? I don't think we can top that. Hey, well, yeah. I feel like it, well, the sad part was how long it took me to get back on the stage. Just sort of everybody had to watch, like, he's a big dude for to be that lackluster with his movement.
We still have some more beautiful stuff. So this is from Aaron R. We ask people to tweet us like good things. So he's raising his hashtag #3Kings to break stereotypes and be the leaders of the future. And it's three beautiful, beautiful brown babies just laying on the floor and smiling.
That's a beautiful picture of that dad and his three brown kids. What did you say? My producer just said something to me, and I'm going to ask him what he said, even though we're not supposed to do it that way, but he thought I could hear him over all the clapping. Give it up for Try the Pie, everybody. Try the Pie. Again, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and this is Kamau Right Now, KLW. And also, give it up for our guests, Kasim Bentley, Mallory Ortberg, and Judge Lindores Cordell. Also, give it up for our Stranger, Becca Hoekstra. We'll have the panel back later, so keep those tweets coming at hashtag Kamau Now. All right, so we've heard what's going on Twitter, but let's hear what's happening with the people right here at the JCCSF in San Francisco. Please. Audience emissary, the holder of the beautiful mustache, Jeremy Dolmas, everybody. Jeremy Dolmas.
Hi again. So
what's going on in this room, sir?
So this is one which where someone made turned lemon into lemonades. Bron says, I'm unemployed and enjoying every minute of it while it lasts.
Is that who's unemployed? Who's the person who wrote that card? Is
Bron.
Bron? Way in the back? That's how unemployed you show up late, sit in the back, you just don't even. What are you doing with your time? Just screaming out.
Nothing.
Man, as a parent with two kids, oh, I envy you so much. What is nothing like? I remember nothing in my 20s. It was so awesome. What else we got out there, Jeremy?
Ike Pinkston. I recently did a hunger strike to protest against police brutality in San Francisco, and it breaks my heart that although it was semi-successful, it took someone dying at the hands of law enforcement for action.
Wait, is this one of the Frisco Five, right? Give it up for the Frisco Five, everybody. We had the Frisco Five on an earlier show. It was way more than semi-successful, as far as you ask me. I believe all these movements are links in a chain, and that was a very powerful link. One more time for the Frisco Five. Thank you. Thanks, Jeremy, and to all you out there, keep your questions and comments coming. We'll do some more in the after party after the show, and we'll have our panel back later on during the show. So if you've got something to ask or a comment for them, use the hashtag KamauNow, KamauNow. Remember the Frisco Five said there was more on the back of the card. Can we read it at the after party?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Give it up, Frisco Five, everybody. I don't want to disrespect. Next time, did you write the word over or continued at the bottom of the card? Okay. All right. So fair enough. I appreciate it. We've all learned a valuable lesson here, haven't we? The Frisco Five keeps teaching us. I appreciate that. We'll read it in the after party. I promise. Now it is time for my favorite part of the show.
It's an awkward talk with W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah! Yes. This is the part of the show where we get into the things that are on our mind that we don't comfortable talking about, but seem to have no problem posting about on Twitter with my name attached to them. So look, everybody, I'm just quite honest and open about this. When the JCCSF invited me here to do Kamau Right Now, I was super excited about it. I've come here for many events. I support the JCCSF. But I immediately knew what I felt like I had to talk about if I was actually doing the thing that I think I'm doing, which is entering into difficult conversations that I think we need to have more often. So I knew what I wanted the Awkward Talk to be about. We're talking about Israel and Palestine. Obviously, we're not going to solve it right here tonight, but I feel like we have to start having these conversations more often, more out in the open, so that's what we're here to do. And while JCCSF has allowed us to do this, they also have let us know that this is not number one of their favorite things to do list. So I want to give them a round of applause for letting us do this. We have to, and also just remind everybody, I am the black guy who went on television and talked to the Ku Klux Klan. So I have some experience with awkward conversations. So my first guest is a member of Jewish Voice for Peace. Please welcome Sydney Levy, everybody. Sydney Levy. Thank you. My next guest is a rabbi at Congregation Emmanuel here in San Francisco. She's also the vice chair of the National Board for In the Ark, a Jewish partnership for justice. Please welcome Rabbi Sidney, everybody. Rabbi Sidney Mintz. Thank you. And also sitting at the social media desk, he just snuck in, is one of my favorite people of all time, period. My ambassador to the Jewish people, one of San Francisco's best and great comedian, and my own personal rabbi, Nato Green, everybody.
Shalom. For the purpose of tonight, I would like to be known as Rabbi Sidney Nato Green, Esquire the Third.
All right. We have two Sydneys now. We got a third Sydney.
It's some hot Sydney on Sydney action.
All right, Nato, you've probably said enough already. So first of all, thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Sydney. Which it could be you, Rabbi. But thank you both Sydneys for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Two Sydneys for the price of one.
That's right. So we know Sydney will be right tonight. That's the first thing we start out with this conversation.
That's for sure.
So thank you. I know this is a loaded conversation. Like I said, I often have loaded conversations in my life, so this is a new one, but not an exception. I guess I want to start off with the questions, like the meta question: why is it so hard to have a conversation about Israel and Palestine? We don't have to have the conversation, but why is it so hard to even think about having the conversation? When we suggested it was like, okay. So why is that? Why do you think that is?
I think because, like any tribe, any family, how many people here have had a difficult conversation with their family? Right? So.
Wow, not that many people. You guys stopped going to Thanksgiving? Is that what happened here?
Yeah. So the Jewish people are a family, we're a tribe, and we actually like having difficult conversations. So I understand for this show, purpose of the show, it's an awkward conversation. There's nothing really awkward about, I think, talking about Israel-Palestine. I think it's challenging.
Okay.
I think it's conflictual.
Okay, Sydney disagrees.
Now, Sydney, the first Sydney disagrees with the second Sydney disagrees with the first Sydney.
I mean, I think that the conversations are happening all the time. And in that respect, Sydney, here present, is right. But I think that what's going on is that there are rules that do not allow us to have the conversation. And that's part of the problem. I'll give you a quick example. For example, in this very room, Jewish Voice for Peace, I'm a member of that organization, we had an award ceremony, I don't know, like a good number of years ago. It was called the Olive Branch Awards. A year later, the guidelines for this institution were changed so that we would never be able to rent a space in this institution. And why? Because we talk differently and because we talk about Israel-Palestine in different ways. I'm happy to talk with anybody about Israel-Palestine. But there are rules in certain Jewish institutions that say we are not a tribe, we are not having the conversation, have it elsewhere. And that, I think, is part of the problem.
I don't think anybody says we're not a tribe. We are a tribe that have really different opinions, and we have to talk about it. It has to be really difficult. I mean, we have a 4,000-year tradition, which you are familiar with, machloket. Machloket is like really heartfelt disagreement and not walking out the door, but keeping facing one another. And we have tochecha, which is rebuking one another when we think that something is wrong in our community. So I don't think it's okay to turn away from one another when we disagree.
I agree with Sydney.
All right. Nato, how am I doing so far?
You're doing well, Kamau. You can still have Jewish friends.
Thank you. All right.
you can still come to my house for Passover.
Oh, thank you. I was really concerned about that. Just recently, Israel has been in the news. Last week, the U.S. and Israel agreed to a new military aid deal that will send $38 billion to Israel in the next 10 years. And then today, Obama, who's been an outspoken, has had criticism of Israel, said this to the U.N. I think it was earlier this week he spoke to the U.N. about this situation.
And surely Israelis and Palestinians will be better off if Palestinians reject incitement and recognize the legitimacy of Israel. But Israel recognizes that it cannot permanently occupy and settle Palestinian land.
Now, that seems like a simple statement, but I also was like, his Jewish Twitter is going to blow up right now. And so how do you feel?
Jews can't work in 140 characters. So. Oh, Jewish Twitter has a lot more characters.
Okay.
There is Jewish Twitter, by the way. It's longer.
Yes, but Twitter is not anti-Semitic. We can get it down to 140. We can.
And we just have to type right to left.
So I think you're right. I think a lot blows up when the President of the United States talks about it, but I think that when it comes to sitting around a table together, that there any Jew, any non-Jew who understands and accepts that Israel exists, the existence of Israel and the Jewish people and that homeland is at the table. So I don't think that's a problem. If there's a conversation going on where at the center is the existence of the state of Israel, I think we're all in agreement. I also believe that a lot of Jews in this country, I know most Jews in Israel are very comfortable talking about the occupation, most Jews in this country are getting far more understanding and vocal about the issues with it.
I don't think the issue is the existence of the state of Israel or not. It does exist, but I think that is when we are talking about Israelis and Palestinians, we have to stop talking about the state of Israel and the Palestinians. So if the premise of the conversation is, let's talk about the state of Israel as Jews, and then let's talk about the others who are the Palestinians who may or may not be in the room, then that's not a conversation. That may be a conversation inside of the tribe, which is cute for Passover and it's nice for Rosh Hashanah, but it's not a conversation. A conversation needs to be on equal terms. And that's part of what I want to see. And by the way, this issue of military aid, there are three letters why this conversation is very difficult to have. And this conversation, what President Obama was saying is the third letter. One is boycott, B, the other D is divestment, and the third is sanctions. Many parts of the Jewish community don't want to talk about BDS. S is sanctions. S are the Jews that say, we don't want to give more military aid to Israel. We don't want tax dollars to go to Israel when Israel occupies another people. And that's a legitimate conversation that is very hard to have in some institutional Jewish communities, but we have to have it, whether you disagree or not.
I disagree with BDS, but that doesn't mean I'm not of the same tribe with you. We have to be able to disagree.
We are the same tribe, but we are sitting together. We're Sydney and Sydney.
We're Sydney and Sydney. We disagree.
Well, I feel like we've just turned this into a whole show you guys can tour with. We're Sydney and Sydney. We disagree. Give it up for our panel, everybody. The Awkward Talk. I know we just sort of got into it. We can talk about the after party, but I appreciate the JCCSF letting us start this conversation. Thank you, Rabbi Sydney. Thank you, regular Sydney. All right, I want you to help me welcome back our awesome panel. Give it up for Mallory Ortberg, Kasim Bentley, Judge LaDoris Cordell. All right, let's check in again with Becca Hoekstra at the social media desk. Becca, what is Twitter saying about what's going on right now?
We have some interesting conversations about dreads happening, so this is kind of a two-parter. So at Mae Givens, I'm upset with the federal judge allowing companies to not hire anyone with dreadlocks. So basically it was kind of just determined that, like, if someone has dreadlocks, you can fire them for, like, looking inappropriate work. And that's okay. You can do that. So,
what?
Yeah, I know, right?
Judge Cordell, do something!
Still same conversation. So then at Zedonim was asking, can cultural appropriation contribute to cultural integration, i.e. Marc Jacobs' use of white models wearing multicolored dreads on the runway, which just happened at, like, the New York fashion show or whatever? And, like, I guess not is the answer.
Another good answer would be blowjob sound.
Jacobs,
no.
His reasoning for having white people on the runway of dreadlocks, because it's like, well, black women can have white people hair, and it's like, what, are you crazy? It's like, did you fall off the runway? What is wrong with you, man? I love, and it's like, and that coming right afterwards is just that, you know how it is when you're on social media, you get like, oh god, I gotta take a break. This is like crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I've often pulled a Kaepernick. I gotta take a knee right now. This is really taking me down. So there's you can't wear dreadlocks at what companies? Federal companies?
Yes. It was like
are they preparing for President Trump? Was that what's happening?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just apparently it's not in the Civil Rights Act. It doesn't count as racial discrimination, apparently.
So they're saying that Martin Luther King didn't say, I have a dream that black men with dreadlocks will be able to work at any government job they want.
Yeah.
Okay. What else you got on Twitter?
Let's see. This one people want to talk about a lot. At Jerome Spann, you already know what you need to talk about. Charge this quick. What does it say? And it's about the cop who shot Terrence Crutcher. She was already charged. She's also been referred to as, like, she reacted over-emotionally. And, like, you know, that's already coming out.
Yeah,
so.
I did have to say, when I saw that the cop who shot him was a woman that was charged, I was like, oh, so this is really, like, sexism taking the place of racism in some sense. Is that what's happening here? What do you think about this, Judge Cordell?
Well, first of all, she has been charged with first-degree manslaughter. And so she is now, you know, facing criminal charges. You know, there's a big issue, by the way. It's been said that policing would be much better if there were more women in policing. And maybe that's true. And there is some research that does show that women tend to lower the level of use of force. But recent events, and I know of other incidents where I'm not comfortable even, you know, if that's a reform, I'm not comfortable with it because I don't think it's going to get us where we should be. So,
yeah, I think any idea that women are somehow naturally more restrained, I mean, we already know there's a really ugly history with white women overreacting to blackness in this country. Like, we're as much a part of that as white men, and I think we don't want to admit it, but, like, it's good that she's been charged. I would like it if more of the white male officers had shot people had also been charged, but, like, she should be charged. It's good. It is the right outcome.
Yeah, I mean, we also know that you can be charged with something and then walk away from something, you know. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Rodney King thing, and I thought, you know, and to have seen that tape and go, like, well, they got it on tape this time, and we all know how that went down. So, I mean, I think it's just being charged with something.
It's one thing to be charged, next to be convicted, and that has to be a jury or a judge making that decision. It doesn't often happen.
Yes.
Yeah, this is just the first step.
Yeah.
Becca, is there anything over there that can take us out of this hole of sadness?
No.
It's fine if there's not. I can keep digging the hole.
It's still kind of sad. Well, it's different, I guess. At Carla Martin 4147, can a black person support Trump and still be black? I don't know this person's views on Trump.
Well, we're getting some feelings from the audience about that. Funny thing, there's a lot of white people saying no.
Yeah, that seems interesting.
I'm going to... I know, it's like a Beyonce wind machine. It was so powerful to win.
Yeah.
Kasim, I'm going to let you take that one. Can a black person support Trump and still be black?
I mean, all right, look. If you're listening at home and you support Trump, I want to make sure you put your ears really close to the speaker. Because I really want you to hear this. All right, I'm going to give you 2 seconds. Are you out your Negro mind?
Oh, I'm so happy you ended that nig with grow. Okay.
Who are all those black people? You ever see them standing behind Trump when he's speaking? There's always two or three black. Who are they?
Who are they? They're paid hourly, is what they are.
All right.
Here's the thing. I think you can be a black person supporting Trump, of course, and damn me, a black person. But if you do it, there's one thing about voting for something crazy. But to be publicly supporting it, that's where I go. Look at that. Every time a black person runs for the Republican nomination, Republicans go, yay, for 2 weeks. Then they go, get your crazy butt out of here. Even Republicans don't like black Republicans.
I just want to know.
What'd you say?
Wait.
Hold on. We're almost at the end of the show. We will get to you later in a few minutes. We're almost. Huh? Oh, that's you? Are you voting for Trump? Oh, okay. I thought she was like, I am voting for Trump, and I am going to talk. I would have brought you right on stage, Black, but yeah. All right, we have our last tweet before this show ends.
This is one we've gotten before. Hey, come on now. Why are all your producers white?
That is a good question. Believe me, sometimes I sit at producer meetings and go, hey, why are all my producers white? Matt, Max, you're the producer, your head producer, Max Jacobs. Why are you guys all white?
You see the nervousness? I appreciate it.
Yeah, what, Max?
Say y'all Algerian or something.
It's a good question. Why are you guys all white?
We haven't hired anybody new since the start of the show.
Uh-huh.
It's not a good answer, but...
This is a second awkward talk in the
show, isn't it? I'll step aside.
You'll step aside for a black person or a person who's not a white person?
Sure.
The way you would really do it, Max, is that you would still do the work. You just give a person who of color your money. That's how you'd really do it.
It's fair.
I don't think it's fair to just step aside. I think you got to still do the job, but you just hand your paycheck to Kasim. I think that's how it works.
I will say I felt really weird starting this job and starting the Twitter account. I was like, I'm integrating myself into black Twitter almost, and mm-hmm. why is this my job? This is kind of weird.
To be totally honest, Becca, there's sometimes you tweet things and then black people go, come on, what are you saying? She didn't get out of the black voice right. We're still working on it. I love you, Becca. So I'm like, that's not actually how you use that phrase. Man, this has been the most awkward show we've had. Give it up for Come Out Right Now, everybody. That's our show. I want to thank our wonderful guests once again, Mallory Ortberg, Kasim Bentley, Judge Ladoris Cordell, Rabbi Sidney Mintz, Sidney Levy, and Nate O'Green. Thank you to the JCCSF Hall for hosting us. The Come Out Right Now team is Deb Muldoon, Dan Brandon, James Rollins, Jeremy Dolmas, Becca Hoekstra, Phil Circus, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin, who's also white. It's the Public Radio Problem. Music by Try the Pie. Get over Try the Pie. Come Out Right Now is a white production of KALW. For those in the mostly white audience, stay with us. We've got more coming up. If you're listening on the white radio, you can catch the rest of the white podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now, right now. I'm Black W. Kamau Bell. Thank you so much, and good night!